Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's cracking, y'all? PSA Hip Hop, man. It's your boy in the building. I know the vibes already. Watch, what's good, my G?
What's good, my G?
You already know, man. Let's get into these hip hop topics, man. First topic I wanted to tackle, man. I saw a lot of people, obviously, Watson, you and I've seen, let's be real, man, 2020 has been a crazy year. That's an understatement. That's not breaking news. Obviously, we losing Pop Smoke, KJ Baller, Juice WRLD, name it, man. Just a lot of brothers. We Fred the Godson, I said already, Andre Harrell, Little Richard, Pop Smoke. It's I went to MO3, King Von, but obviously we're talking about King Von right now. And we know the young Chicago rapper who, let's be real, man, we both rocked out to Little King Von. We respect what he did for the young boys. But there's new breaking news, Watson, in the sense of this footage that was recently released a couple weeks ago, King Von and Quando Rondo, when they got into the obviously shooting at each other and everything like that at the Atlanta, what was that, a club or a lounge, wherever they was at and everything. And we lost King Von, and I hate to say this, I felt King Von was a tad bit extra aggressive, and I don't want to say that's the main reason he passed away, Watts, but I got to be real. When I watched that footage and see King Von coming out the vehicle and rushing Quando Rondo, then Quando Rondo's man's letting off, and then Quando Rondo's man getting shot and everything, now we have Quando Rondo dropping a song called End of Story, where Watsy's basically telling his story of exactly what happened. What do you feel about this? Do you have mixed emotions? How you feel about this? Him telling his story and what he has to say? Was he poking at the dead? What's your take on the song?
I don't like the song. I don't think it's a good hip-hop song. I think the whole situation is a horrible situation for hip-hop. So I don't like anything about any of this. Making this response to sound like a modern hip hop song, I just don't get it. You want to tell your side of the story, but you're singing, you're auto tuning, you're barely rapping to describe exactly what you're saying. I guess that's the new way of how people respond or rap for the young generation. So me personally, I didn't like it.
Now, is this a diss song, or was he basically pointing out how Von forced himself into the position of, you know, of where, obviously, let's be honest here, if Quando Rondo's man is the one that let off the shots at Von, is he doing the right thing by protecting his man? Is that his job to do? I get so confused when with these young boys and shit, because at one end, like I said, Von was aggressive, but like, and you and I spoke about this off air, and something you said to me that was very interesting. You were saying, well, damn, does it have to get to the guns? No, it doesn't, but let's be real, Watts, are these young boys taking it to the fists? And me and you go outside, we scrap and keep it moving. Now they're letting off shots and everything, mocking the dead and everything like that. I didn't like when he said, go pick up your mans and everything. Go pick your mans up. I particularly did not like that line when he did that. I know he said we're trying to get home and everything. But, you know, what do you think he's trying to get out of this song, though? Is it like a troll song, or what are we doing?
To be honest, I don't know, because I got nothing from this song. I don't even feel like I got clarity from this song, because
right,
it was too much going on in the song. There was too much. You're singing, you're harmonizing, you're auto-tuning, and you're rapping. I mean, I know that's the sound of today. That is how today's rappers rap, more popular with the youth. But to me, it just did not resonate. I don't feel it was descriptive or introspective, even though that's what he clearly was trying to do.
Wow. Yeah, man, it's kind of like it's called End of Story. I saw a lot of the young boys asking us, yo, can you give us your thoughts on Quando Rondo's song? And my thoughts is like, I think it's tasteless. I don't like, and I had watching you saying that it's auto-tune and everything like that, but that's what Quando Rondo does. Now, would it have been better if he left that aspect of a song like this, especially with the severity and exactly what happened with him and King Von? Would you have preferred him just kept it rapping without the auto-tune? Is that what you're saying?
Listen, I'm not someone who's into Quando Rondo's music, so I really can't.
Right.
I really don't know enough about him to even talk about what kind of music he does. I just know that this is a song where he's giving his side of the story, and to me, it just wasn't a good song.
Man, R.I.P. King Von, man. It's just I hope no one, you know, I know people hear this song, the Chicago guys hear this song, and they just be like, yo, you trying to, you know, mock the death again, and this is what these young boys do. They're not smoking on dead men. They're not, you know, it's just wild, man. It's wild, man. Let's go ahead, Watts. Royce the 5'9", that's the homie right there, obviously. Recently on Instagram with Fredro Star, Van Latham, I believe that's his name, and another gentleman. We're talking hip-hop, obviously. And for whatever reason, Royce the 5'9 theme came up. And let's say Fredro was poking a little bit at the allegory title of the song that Royce the 5'9 had for his album. He tried to box in Royce the 5'9 as a backpacker, nerd rapper, and everything like that. And obviously, Royce the 5'9, you and I both know he was not going to let Royce get, I mean, Fredro get those bars off without responding and everything like that. What do you feel about Fredro? Obviously, we've done an Onyx appreciation, so you and I can speak about Fredro Star. Talk to me, though.
I'm really disappointed. I was really disappointed in Fredro Star. I was really disappointed in Fredro Star saying that. First of all, dissing backpack rap literally makes no sense. All it is people who, the stereotype is dudes who have rhymes in their backpack and they're going out to cipher and battle or rap. Like, literally, that's what a quote-unquote backpack rapper supposedly is. I thought not only was it ignorant, I thought he played himself. I was very disappointed. And he used the word nerd backpack rapper. I like the way Royce responded, because Royce said, you know, I'm not triggered by that, you know. But he was triggered because he made an IG video to respond. He made a video response because he felt it had to be responded to because he was described that way. But it was a wrong description. You know, Royce the 5'9 is not a nerd backpack rapper. He never, ever was. And it just highlights something me and you talk about all the time. Just because someone is a rapper, that doesn't mean they know a lot about other hip-hop artists. It's obvious.
I always say that.
It's
I live by
obvious.
That code.
It's obvious Fredro Star has no idea who Royce the 5'9 is, or he was trying to be funny. And see, you can't be funny like that to me. I can't have a conversation with somebody in hip-hop, especially somebody legendary like Onyx, and he could say something like that. Because I would immediately say, sorry, Van Lathan, you couldn't say this because you don't know what to say. But I would easily say, hold up. Are we talking about Royce the 5'9? So you think Boom with DJ Premier is a backpack song?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Did you not watch him on the Beef DVDs produced by Quincy Jones' son, QD3, where he was going back and forth, D12,
word.
And how vicious
exactly.
And raw those songs was? What was nerdy and backpack about that? That's what I want to know.
I listen, Royce is from Detroit, man. He's from Detroit, man. Let's be clear on that right quick, man. I don't get this backpack thing. And why are we boxing? And here's another thing. Even as black people, why are we doing that if a brother's vocabulary might be extensive and he doesn't have to use slang in every third bar or third line in his vocabulary, we box him in as being a nerd. Like, why do we do that?
Imagine being gifted with lyricism and you're being dissed because you're gifted. You know, you're old enough, Fredro Star, so let me talk to you. You remember T. La Rock in 84 when he came out with the song It's Yours.
It was all classic. Big words, commentating, illustrating. Like, he was saying a lot of big words. So wait a minute. You consider big words, backpack, you consider that nerd rap.
I'm not jacking,
man.
Let me
tell you something right now, Fredo Starr. You would have hated a song by KRS called You Must Learn. You would have hated that song. Another song by KRS-One, you would have absolutely hated. You would have hated Black Man in Effect by KRS-One.
That was a dope song.
Another song
but
you
hold
would
on.
Hate.
Hey, hold on, before you go. Here's my problem. Fredo act like he doesn't come from that cloth or that era of hip-hop where dudes are making songs like that. That's what throws me off. You know what I'm saying? Fredo got to be 40 years old. I mean, he's here from 1993 when Onyx dropped Slam. So to him coming off like he doesn't, like, it just sounded real weird to me and everything. I know you're making jokes and everything, Fredo. It just sounded weird to me, fam. I'm not going
to
hold you, man.
To me, that's not a funny joke. It's not a funny joke because it's not true. And it doesn't make any sense. He uses big words or he's a backpack rapper. What exactly does that mean? Because Kanye West damn sure was running around with a backpack. And running around doing backpack production. You know what I'm saying? And everybody in the industry wanted to work with him. So what exactly are you saying, Fredo Starr? Fredo Starr, you played yourself. And you played yourself. And you can never get that off of me talking that nonsense.
Yeah, he sounded real retarded saying that though. I didn't get it, man. I didn't get it at all. Fredo, you had a song called What If or What where you was doing like what Jada did with Y. And what if, and you kind of went in some introspective back. So it's kind of crazy that you would go, I don't know, it was just weird, man. It was weird. You know what I mean? It was real weird. Watch, I want to go ahead with you, man. I'm going to give you two groups, right? Two guys, or four people. And I'm going to ask you what's your take on these individuals. Raekwon and Ghostface versus Jaden Styles, sir. I don't want to say who's better. I don't want to go who's better or talk or nothing like that. But maybe I could ask you, and it's a crazy question to ask you, what meant more to you? Because it's kind of like you can't lose, or it's not a bad decision on what you pick. But Rain Ghost and Jaden Styles, man, what are we doing here? You and I were talking about this off air.
There's no wrong answer to this question because these are four great MCs. But here's what I think of when I think of these four MCs. Chemistry. They have absolute great chemistry together. Now, when I say that, for example, Source Money and Jay-Z used to do songs together early. Did you feel that they had the chemistry of a Rain Ghost or Jaden Styles? Or, for example, Smith & Wesson had great chemistry. They used
Very
to go
much
back
so.
And forth. So is Smith & Wesson part of this great chemistry that duos have? Or
Run DMC
one.
And Smith & Wesson,
Red
yes.
and Meth.
Yes.
Red and Method Man have great chemistry. They came out with, I mean, they have great songs. They have what I consider a great album in the
organic.
Out. So
very organic.
There are MCs who have organic chemistry that works. Now, what a preference would be is because Ray and Ghost have an absolute masterpiece of an album called To the Links, I think people would gravitate that Ray and Ghost would sound like they're the best at it. But Styles and Jada have always had great chemistry for 25 years.
Yes.
So it's literally.
And I said, and I've said this to you numerous times. I feel they get more credit. More than Run DMC, more than Smith & Wesson, more than Ray and Ghost, more than Smooth Hustler and Trigger the Gambler. Like, they get more love with the back and forth more than anybody else, in
They're
my
supposed
opinion.
To get, but I will say this. They should get more love than Smooth Hustler and Trigger the Gambler, only because they just put out more work. They got 25 years of work. So I'm definitely going to give them that. But see, that's why, so here's another reason why Ray, Panero and Mr. Raspy could also get a lot of love because they just have 25 years of doing this. Even though the Locks don't have a lot of albums, every year you got songs with
Jay. Crazy.
They freestyles constantly have fun. And when it comes to back and forth, man, if we were to do a Hall of Fame back and forth, hip hop songs, like a top 25 back and forth, Jada and Style got about several that would be in the top 10.
I got Smith & Wesson also, though, with The Shining, though. There's a lot of joints in The
Absolutely.
Shining. That's just greatness.
Absolutely.
4.5, 5 mic songs. You know what I mean? And Red MF also, which you highlighted, from Blackout 1, from How High. Like, my nigga, let's be real. Me and you was outside when How High dropped. How big was How High, my nigga? Like, big.
It was
like,
a big, big song. So How High was the song where you have two great MCs and their absolute prime come together for the show soundtrack, and it was a big hit song. And that's
Time out. What do we feel about the show soundtrack? Before sidebar, what do we feel about the show soundtrack?
I really enjoyed the show soundtrack. I really enjoyed it. I like the song soundtrack. I love the woman who put it together, a woman by the name of Drew Dixon. She put the show soundtrack together.
Yes.
That's the woman who made the Method Man Mary song come to life. She's the one who made that remix work. And she's also actually put the soundtrack together. Every artist, she got all that. So that was dope. So I really, really liked the show soundtrack. But in terms of back and forth MCs, the reason why Ray and Ghost are always going to have an edge over everybody else is because they have the classic of all classics album. They have the Purple Tape. Shout out to Nas, because Nas made the Purple Tape a word. Nas made it a word.
But I got them. What are you saying at the end of the day? You saying Ray and Ghost over Jaden Styles?
No, at the end of the day, there is nobody over. There's no wrong answer. All of them have great chemistry.
Right.
And like I can't put them over Red and Meth. Red and Meth came out the Blackout, and they came out the Rock Wallet, and that was phenomenal chemistry. They are MCs. And listen, hold up. Nas and AZ have phenomenal chemistry. Nas and Nature have phenomenal chemistry. But there's a lot of MCs
Nori,
that can go back
to Nori and Nature. Nori and Nature, to me, they could have had a dope album, I thought.
That's what I'm saying. They have chemistry. So, you know, the reason why people might edge, try to say, I prefer Ray and Ghost is only because Ray and Ghost is the Purple Tape. Like I said, you guys was not calling for Purple Tape until Nas said it. And here's another thing. You had to be getting cassettes. A lot of you guys were not getting cassettes at the time. Y'all were whole hardcore CD buyers. Not me. I got to go on cassette.
Yeah, facts. First love is cassettes. That's a fact. I'm not going to hold you. Not going to hold you at all. But there's a lot of who's other people that had good chemistry, man, that I wish they had dropped. I think Nas and AZ are really at the top. I think a lot of people wanted a Nas AZ collaboration. You know what I mean?
I believe a Nas AZ album would have done wonders for AZ's career, because you would have seen that AZ could rap with Nas on every song. Like, stuff like that, sometimes people have to hear it or see it. For example, I'll give you a perfect example. 2011. When Royce da 5'9" came out with that album with Eminem, everybody understood, wow. Like, lyrically, Eminem does nothing better than Royce. Royce raps bar for bar with him. And you know what I used to tell everybody? I said, Royce da 5'9" has always been as nice as Eminem. Get Eminem's first album. Why don't you listen to Scary Movie? Like, when has he not been as nice? But once they heard that full album of them, people understood. Like, no one could say, yo, you heard that album? Yo, Royce got washed.
Yeah.
Everybody did him on every song. That, there's no way you could say that. No
way. But I don't think Royce is getting love. I don't think Royce is getting love like that when niggas were saying he's going bar for bar with Eminem on Slim Shady LP. I don't think niggas were saying that loud.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't. But it took that for people to really understand how ill an MC he was.
me and you knew. Mm. We definitely, yeah. The bar exams was like,
definitely,
woo!
Definitely, yeah.
But I'm saying, I believe if AZ had the opportunity, if him and Nas did an album together, you would hear it. Because AZ can rap ball to ball with Nas. He can. So can Nature. So can Nature.
You know how I feel about that. And I've always said Beanie Siegel. I've always said I always wanted a Jay-Z Beanie Siegel album over Jay-Z and Kanye. One day we're going to revisit that Watch Your Throne album. And y'all are going to be surprised
with
shit I got to say about that project. For real.
And let me say this. Beans would be looked at differently. Beans would be looked at very differently if people got the opportunity to hear him on 12 straight joints
with
Hove. Like they would hear, you know, because every time he rapped with Hove, he was right there with
Listen,
Hove.
Listen, man.
Every single time.
I got to be real. Jay, for me, might be 0-3 in collaboration albums. If I go back to R. Kelly, Best of Both Worlds, if I go to Kanye West, I wasn't, listen, The Culture Love, Watch Your Throne, I wasn't big on Watch Your Throne like that. If memory serves me right, this is like a 3.5 mic project album to me. I wasn't crazy over that. And Jay-Z and Jay Electronica, that's not going to make my top 10 list and next month. Watch. I'm letting it be known right now, Jay-Z and Jay Electronica is not going to be in my top 10. And I'm kind of upset that I don't have that. I'm not, I haven't played that album like I thought I would be playing that album. You get what I'm saying? And then Jay Electronica also dropped a project that you and I did with Zoo, but you spoke about it off air. You and I spoke about it. We didn't really care about that project. It didn't really sound that dope. I'm kind of mad that Jay Electronica dropped two projects. Think about this, Watts. Jay Electronica drops two projects in 1 year, and you and I are not really crazy about it. That's crazy. I'm a big Jay Electronica fan, so maybe that's why I look at it like, you know what I mean?
I strongly agree with you. I strongly agree with you and what you're saying. I have a question that I need to ask you. What?
Right.
How do we look at Eve's career or Eve's run in hip hop?
Wow. I think you and I have highlighted this before on the show. Listen, man, Eve's dogs, I thought Eve got some of the best Swizz beats production wise from Swizzy. And like her first album is like a 4-mic project, very introspective songs on it. Eve could rap. And Eve was in a group with the Rough Riders when she was the only female in that group, and she's rapping with Jada, Styles, DMX, Dragon, and these niggas. Eve was official, B. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I don't think Eve gets a lot of love as she should. People go Little Kim and Foxy, and that's as you should, right? Light, of course. But Eve was selling records and making dope music. What? That I thought for the ladies.
I
Love Is Blind. Love Is Blind is one of the illest songs to me. In her, like, I love Love Is Blind. I love that song by Eve. From a woman's perspective.
Introspection,
it's
pain.
Very dope.
I thought Eve's run was very impactful for me. I mean, it had a strong impact. And a lot of times I see her just, you know, after she did her run, right, she immediately did a television show. And then she got married to, like, a billionaire. So people sort of, like, don't want to give her flowers. But, man, oh, man, Eve was going bar for bar. Think about this. Eve was going bar for bar with Rough Riders in their prime.
Yeah.
DMX in his prime. Styles P in his prime. Like, you remember the Scenario 2000? EVE.
I love that.
My dogs believe in me. Let me tell you something.
Yep.
To this day, one of my mans at work talked to a girl named Eve, right? That was his girl.
Mm.
Every time I saw him, that's how we referred to her. EVE. My dogs believe
in me.
EVE. She impacted me. Her song with Beanie Siegel, when she was on the hook, Remember Them Days? Fire.
I love that joint.
That's one of
I
my favorite
joint.
Songs. Off of
Fam.
Beans, the truth.
How many times I've told you, Watts, that I like her Scorpion album over Drake's Scorpion album? And I ain't saying that to, I mean that genuinely.
Let's be clear. She has a song. She has a song. Let me just do a quick take on that Scorpion.
It was dope, man.
That song, Philly Philly, with her and Beanie Siegel, is an anthem to me. To me, that was an anthem.
Philly, Philly.
To me.
Philly's where I'm from. That drum was fire. Fire.
Anthem. I thought they were both going to beat, and I thought it got busy on there. I already told you about how I felt about Scenario 2000 with the lock.
Can we say this? Can we say this? After Lil' Kim, Foxy, and Lauren hit Usher's Eve, did not Eve have a strong voice for the ladies? Or after Foxy and Kim had a strong run?
I thought Eve came in the game during Foxy and Kim's run and became more successful.
Yes,
because that's when she came into the game. She came in 99, 2000, while Kim and Foxy is still Kim and Foxy.
Yeah.
And I thought she made a lane for herself and shine. And she was with an ill team. Like, that song she got with Dragon, Less.
Oh, the drone with Dragon? Nigga, that shit is fire.
Yeah, let's talk about who?
Dog.
Yo,
East verse is fire. Fire.
Fire.
Like, real fire. I rock. I'm glad you brought Eve's name up on the show, son. I rock with Eve, man. I don't think she. And listen, her and Rod Digger, I think, don't get. Rod Digger, I think Rod Digger doesn't get enough props. That's just me, though. You know how much I love Digger, man. Love Digger, love Jean Grey. Like, those sisters right there mean a lot to me, man. Bahamadia, of course, man. Like, a lot of these ladies, you and I talk about Rage, Intro, on Doggy Style, like Boss, Yo Yo, Mia X. You know what I'm saying, son? It's been like, you know. I always have a special place in my heart for women of hip-hop, man, and I would never, ever change. I just can't. From Salt and Pepper, Light, Latifah, Moni Love, Vanessa Cinquist, like, I love those sisters, man. Love those sisters, man. But Eve, to me, I don't know. Where do we rank Eve in female contention of all time? She's definitely top 10 of all time in females. She's definitely top 10.
Listen. First of all, Eve is one of the most successful female artists of all time. Of all time.
Gwen Stefani joints and shit. And she was like.
And I'm going to say her run. I mean, come on. She got a song with Styles P. That's
Alicia
what it
Keys.
Is. Man, that song produced by Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Fire.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, remember when Dre had her on his label and he didn't know what to do with her?
Dre
remember
and
that?
Busta.
Nobody
want
to talk about that.
Hold on. To
nobody
fair,
wants
no,
to
be
talk
fair,
about
you.
That.
No, we've spoken on a whole lot about. My nigga, we've said Dre had a couple of people. He had Joel Ortiz, Rakim, Busta, and those didn't really, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't Eminem and 50 Cent that vibe.
He had, you know? Eve, did not know what to do with her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Another thing I want to ask you about. There's an MC from the 90s that I feel does not get his flowers as a five mic lyricist. And I don't
I'm
know
exactly
if it's because of the era he was in. Is it because the era he was in, or people have just forgotten because the producer he worked with? Who am I talking about?
You threw me off. I thought he was going Pharrell March, but my bad. Continue. I don't know why I thought he was going Pharrell. Why did you finish?
I'm talking about CL Smooth.
A guy who was ahead of his time. Yeah, that guy, CL Smooth. Yeah, Corey. Yeah.
What is it about CL Smooth 3 that you felt resonated with you as an MC?
I felt CL Smooth was a guy ahead of his time. I thought with the help of P-Rock on production, was just phenomenal. Obviously, we can sit here and listen. At some time, we are going to have to revisit Milk and the Soul Brother. Now, obviously, they had to all sold out with the Create and everything like that, which we like. But Milk and the Soul Brother is a five-mic classic. You and I talked about collaborations all the time on the show. Headbanger, Scenario, Self-Destruction, and Triumph, Protect Your Neck, and go on and on and on, right? There's some songs on the bass, Mekkin and Soul Brother, man. The Basement and Skins, those two collaborations do not get talked enough. We can sit there and talk about Reminisce Over You. We can also talk about Straighten It Out. I like to talk about Ghettos of the Mind. I could talk about Soul Brother Number One. Like those songs,
let me tell you,
everything to me.
Let me tell you, when you say Ghettos of the Mind, that is
true Ghettos of the Mind.
Dive. That is a true deep dive into the greatness of the album.
But Wax, that's what we do, though. Hold on, Wax.
I know, but it's easy for us.
It's easy for us to go Straighten It Out and Reminisce Over You. It's easy to do that,
no,
bro.
No. I know that. And listen, you when you said Soul Brother Number One, you know that was my joint. You know what I'm saying? Now, here's what's crazy about this album.
You know how
you always ask me, right? You say, yo, do you think MCs should just get with one producer and come out with a whole album? So, you know, you had Hit Boy produce the whole Benny album, the whole. And I always said, this has never been new to hip hop where there's been one producer and one MC. It was never a big deal. You know what album really highlights that? Mekkin and Soul Brother, produced entirely by Pete Rock with one MC named CL Smooth. And now here's me jumping out the window. King's Disease ain't better than Mekkin and Soul Brother, y'all. Go ahead, call me. You are old man, because not with Hit Boy is not a better produced album, and the rhyming ain't better. I'm saying it. CL Smooth rhyming on Mekkin and Soul Brother is better than the lyricism and rhyming of Nas on King's Disease. Challenge that.
Let me go here. Can we say CL Smooth was the MVP of 92?
Yes, you can. Now, here's what's crazy about saying that. Everybody was outside in 92.
So we didn't do a
92 appreciation. So here's the thing. Yeah. We did not do a 92 appreciation. Now here's where the controversy comes. Because we didn't do a 92 appreciation, there's so many great MCs that came out in 92. For example, Redman dropped in 92. Grand Poober dropped in 92. Common dropped in 92.
Stay right there. Can we stay right there with that name you just said? Dog, I could make an argument for Grand Poober also, though. I'm just going to say that. I could make a strong case for Grand Poober in 92, son. I can't. But even though I would pick Mekkin and Soul Brother over Real to Real album, though. I would.
And that's why I'm going to give it to Mekkin and Soul Brother. Let me just say this. Coogee Rap also dropped Live and Let Die.
Yes.
On the Run.
Yes, yes.
Streets of New York. You know what I'm saying? I'm telling you, 1992 had some
Gangsta.
great
nigga.
I mean, what? Me and Rakim dropped Don't Sweat the Technique in 92.
Yeah, that's the last Rakim. Yeah, that was a fire Rakim album.
So let me ask you this. Don't Sweat the Technique of Mekkin and the Soul Brother. 30 years later, let's talk.
Mekkin and the Soul
now,
Brother.
Here's where it gets real dicey. Gangstar also dropped Daily Operation in 92.
Yeah, see?
And that was a fire. Now, that album, production-wise, and great rapping, man, listen.
Come on. Are you saying the production, Daily Operation, is better than Mekkin and Soul Brother? Is that where we're going?
I'm saying if someone wanted to make that case to me,
I can't argue that.
And there's nothing I can say about it. I mean, the song take it personal itself. Like, you want to talk about my production?
Okay, hold on.
Think about this.
I'm going to put you on the spot. I'll put you on the spot. Take it personal or Reminisce Over You?
Reminisce Over You because of the death of Trouble
Two. Nostalgic. It's very,
right?
Very nostalgic, man.
Nostalgic of it. But, man, Take It Personal is a
Primo scratching on it is crazy.
So Remember, Dos Effects came out with Dead Serious, their first album in 92.
Yo, my
classic
nigga, can I be real? That's a 4.5 strong Mike album to me. I'm going to keep it tall.
I strongly agree with you. And let me reel up with you.
I love that album. Dos Effects. Lucy's? Oh, my God.
Dos Effects had everybody copy them for almost 2 years after this album dropped.
Damn.
So in terms of impact.
You forgot Common? I see niggas slamming her and taking her to the sewer.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Wait a minute.
I didn't like, even though I didn't like that line, I didn't know where you went with that.
They
want
to sack yo, yo.
Wait, sorry, so, talk about. Are we gonna let Common get away with that though? Now that we think about, now that we're old heads now in hip hop, we let Common get away with that ball.
So to me, it wasn't a diss. It was.
Nah,
it was
that's
Common
a diss,
just saying.
I see niggas slamming her and taking her to the sewer. But I want to take a bet. Look what I said. I see niggas slamming on. I see niggas slamming her and taking her to the sewer. But I want to take her back.
You know
to
what I took that? I took that he was shouting out Onyx and Dos Effects. I took that as him shouting.
I did.
Is talking about Onyx and Dos Effects.
I never took it that way.
I didn't take it as a diss, man. I didn't take it as a diss at all. Common is a hip hop.
You're going to defend your boy Common. You love
like
Common. You're going to defend Common. Go defend your boy Common. I know that's your man's in them.
No, he's a hip hop head. He's a hip hop head, just like me and you. First of all, I love that Sex and Violence album by Boogie Down Production with KRS-One. I think KRS-One, this was like the last Boogie Down Production album before KRS-One was like calling himself KRS-One on his album. And this album was another album when he had Rough. So to say CL Smooth was the MVP of 92. A lot of people can argue with me that he wasn't. I'm just going to say that. Too many classics came out.
I agree. That's a fact.
Too many classics
That's
came out of 92. Where everybody, and let me just say this. If you really want to get technical, at the end of 1992, in December, somebody named Dr. J dropped an album called The Chronic. So if people really want to do
yeah, man.
Say,
yeah.
You wilding.
Yeah.
December 15th, 1992. Yeah. But because it dropped at the end of December, that album really was hitting in 93. Let's keep it real. The Chronic really blasted off the whole 93. Because it was the last 2 weeks of December. But.
Nah, but hold on. Deep Cover, what year was Deep Cover? What year was Deep Cover? 92, right? Or 91?
92.
All right, 92, yeah.
So.
Yeah, Dre was out here.
92 was a phenomenal year. Remember, we got Runaway Slave, we got Diamond D, Stunt Bunts on hip hop.
Yes.
Come on, man. 92 was
a
great year.
Yo,
so
that's a very slept on album by Diamond D. That's a very slept on album. On the
Did me and you sleep on it? No. It's just people not talking about it. Cause let's be real.
Yeah.
This is we talking about hip hop from 28 years ago. I know a lot of y'all are like,
Jesus Christ.
That's an era. Y'all don't want to battle nobody from that era. Okay.
Yeah,
All right. So all I'm saying is that the fact that me and you can make a case that CL Smooth was in the MVP running in 92 speaks
but
volume
you know
for how great an MC he is.
Gotta go, we spoke about them briefly, though. But Dos Effects had a great year in 92, my nigga. Like,
Dos
I don't want to just them niggas
Dos
had a mean
okay,
year.
Let's talk about it.
A mean
Dos
year.
Dos Effects might have had the biggest year of 92. Dos Effects Dos Effects had one of the biggest years of 92. There was another group that came out in 92 that had a super commercially more successful big year, and that was Arrested Development when they had Tennessee, you know what I'm saying, and I'm Everyday People. Those were big, big commercial super songs, you know what I'm saying? But people can't front on Dos Effects, man. Like, people get at me because I personally listened to more Dos Effects than Outkast. And people attack me like I'm crazy. And it's like, yo, let me tell you something, man. Nobody can tell me I'm crazy for the hip-hop I listened to in the 90s, in the early 90s. Nobody can. You can't attack me because between 90 and 94, I listened to a lot of hip-hop, and a lot of that hip-hop impacted me. So that mid-90s to the end of the 90s hip-hop doesn't necessarily mean it meant more to me. Dos Effects had a huge impact on my life.
What year did K-Soul drop?
91.
Wait, my mom was in my business. 91. Okay. Yo, K Solo gonna get a lot of love, man. Can I say something about K Solo right quick? I know he's 92. I was a big K Solo guy, man. I'm not. Fugitive is on my. See, niggas will go. So I'm on my business and everything.
Three,
I love Fugitive.
Let me ask
man.
You a question. I'm glad you said that. Where'd you first hear K Solo?
With, what's it? On EPMD joint. On EPMD.
Oh, so wait. So the first time you heard K Solo was on EPMD. That's what you're saying?
Was it Unfinished Business? Am I tripping? I don't know, my memory's bad sometimes. I'm getting old now.
Nah,
wait,
it was Unfinished Business. Yeah, Unfinished Business. Yes.
But
yes.
Not, but no, was it Nick? Go ahead.
And it was on Unfinished Business, and the song you heard was produced by Eric Sermon. So clearly there was impact there, right? The lyricist, you liked the production, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you not like the production?
Very much so. I love the production.
Okay. So, yeah. Once again, we talking hip-hop, and somehow EPMD finds their way into the conversation when you talk about how much you like K-Solo. By the way, you're right. The Fugitive. First of all, do we consider The Fugitive a storytelling song?
That's a very dope video, very dope song. That takes me back to your NTUF era, man. That's a very dope song, my dude. I know K-Solo just more love for My Mom's and My Business and everything. And the song you have with Redman on Muddy Waters, I love that song. The back and forth with Redman and K-Solo on Muddy Waters is crazy. I love that song. But Solo was that guy, man. I Can't Hold It Back, Letterman. He had some joints, fam.
Spellbound.
So I made a tweet
a couple of days ago, and I couldn't believe it had so much traction. I said, if you listened to hip-hop between 1986 and 2000, that nothing in the last 20 years of hip-hop blows your mind. And a lot of older people in my age group agreed. And just talking to you right now, Three, about just 1992, which was 28 years ago in hip-hop, you can just see the different levels of MCs that were out dropping phenomenal albums, like different MCs. Redman
Hold
was
on.
His first album.
Dwick was on Daily Operation, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my nigga, let me say something right quick, man. Dwick might have been one of the illest songs in 92. It's definitely top five songs for me.
Wait, it was. Listen.
Or top, I could say top three, but I'm going top five. But I could go top three. But I'm gonna go top five. But I'm not. It's not a reach by me saying top three. Dwick ran 92.
Listen,
fam, you know that. It
how
ran
do we feel about
92?
How do we feel about Google storytelling on X Girl to the Next Girl?
Let me be real with you, man. That was a very mature joint. That's one of Google's most mature joints. That and Discipline that he did with Total on the Owner's album. But that was a very mature song. I don't think that song gets a lot of love, though. X Girl to the Next. That beat was fire, Primo. And Primo scratching it. Yo, Primo was wild. I love X Girl to the Next Girl, man. Love that joint.
And you know,
love it.
You know, one of my favorite Primo beats and favorite Guru songs is on this album, and it's called The Soliloquy of Chaos.
I like that joint too. It's
my
dope.
Beat and chaos.
That
yo, sometimes you wonder, like, what are these dudes thinking about? These are incredible beats. So, yeah, guys, when I said the hip-hop between 86 and 2000, when you lived it, not just heard it, but lived it the way me and you absorbed it, experienced it. We were old enough. Think about this, just to really blow y'all up how old we are. Between 86 and 2000, we were old enough to go out and purchase all the hip-hop we wanted during that time period. Even if it was old enough, our parents could give us money, and we could go, and we still bought albums. So we were still purchasing albums through that time. So I'm saying, this is me just talking, Three. Nothing in the last 20 years has blown my mind because I lived that 86 to 2000 era of hip-hop.
Word. Let me ask you a question. Redman's first three albums or Mobb Deep's first three albums? Or Mobb Deep's second, third, and fourth album. I can't say first because people think Infamous, their first album, really wasn't, though. But to be fair, I got to go infamous murder, Hell on Earth, and Murder Music over Dare the Dark Side, What the Album, and Muddy Waters.
Edge Mobb Deep, because I think Mobb Deep put out three straight five mic album classics. Straight unquestioned five mic albums. Unquestioned to me.
Yeah, it's unquestioned. Like,
no
I
one
mean,
can tell me.
I'm not playing myself going 4.5 to be cute. Them joints is 5.5. We're not doing 4 mics, 4.5. Nah, fam. 5 mics, man. Sorry.
I'm telling you this right now. Young Mobb Deep, which is basically Havoc and Prodigy in their early 20s. All these albums were done when they were under 25 years old, just to really put it in perspective. That three-album run to end the 90s is one of the greatest three-album runs ever. Another great three-album run is the RZA has a three-album run. Well, RZA got it. RZA's three-album run of Cuban Lynx, Liquid Swords, and Iron Man is another incredible three-album run.
Yeah.
Because he was the producer. So that run he was on, you know, there's some great runs in hip-hop.
I'm getting Outkast, Pseudo. I'm getting Outkast, Southern Playlistic, ATLians, and Akram and I also.
What did we think? Hold on. Remember when in 1992, EPMD came out with Business Never Personal. The fourth in a row of
definitely.
A classic EPMD album. 92
definitely.
Was amazing. Yo, my man, when are we going to do 92 Appreciation? I just know. When are we doing a 92 Appreciation?
I do feel like we're doing it right now. Shit, with so Blessing, we're talking about all these dope joints. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
I think Game, didn't Game have a project called 1992? I think Game had a project. Let me look. Yeah, Game had a project called 1992 where he was rapping off mad instrumentals, fam, on 92 beats and everything.
You know,
I'm not going to hold you.
38 Specials coming out the album called Interstate 95, right? He asked everybody on Twitter, what beat should I pick?
Hold on. Game did have a project on 1992. That's funny. There you go. That's wild.
So Spech said he's coming out with an album called Interstate 95. And he asked everybody, what beat should I rhyme over?
Right?
What beat should I rhyme over 95? You know what I said?
Ones.
I said, no. I said, any beat from the infamous Cuban Lynx and Liquid Swords. That was my answer to that.
Yeah, there's certain beats I want to pick rhyme off, though. You might pick North Star, some shit like that on Raekwon shit. I'm not trying to hang rap off North Star. I'm
He's
sorry,
not picking that.
Right.
Yo, by the way, he can't pick North Star. He can't pick because North Star's a fire beat. Can't pick North Star.
I don't like North Star beat like that, son. I'm not going to hold you bad. I don't want to rap off Parties Over or Marvin's album. Parties Over, no thanks.
Were you a fan of Compton's Most Wanted, MC8 lead rapper?
I didn't get to MC8 till he did his joint on Menace Society. When he did that joint, Straight Up Menace, that's when I got into MC8.
I consider that a five mic song.
That's very much five. That's one of the best songs on that song on the Menace to Society soundtrack. That's one of the best songs on it.
Let me ask you something.
Smooth joint there. That was fire too. Though. I ain't gonna hold you. And people, I can see a smooth had a dope joint. On Poetic Justice, One in a Million, Funk for you, baby. I love that joint. I love that One in a Million joint, man.
I did too.
Love that.
Once again, CL Smooth, completely underrated. And I will just say this, CL Smooth's rhyming in 1992 on Mekkin and the Soul Brother, I will put it against any album that dropped in the entire decade of the 90s that CL Smooth is sitting at the table as a lyricist based on just rhyming ability. CL Smooth's rhyming ability on Mekkin and the Soul Brother is as good as any MC
but you know
for
what,
the entire decade of the 90s.
He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad on Main Ingredient, though. He was not bad on Main Ingredient, rhyming-wise, either. That was a very – that's
on
a
Main Ingredient. On Main Ingredient, CL Smooth has one of my favorite songs of all time.
I get Physical.
Take me there.
No, Take You There.
Oh, Take You There. Oh, you like Take You There? I like I Get Physical, but I Take You There is dope, though.
I think Take You There is the greatest version of Keep Rising to the Top. Because, you know, everybody did rhymed over that beat. OC rhymed over it. Dougie Fresh rhymed over it.
That's another nigga I love right there, man.
Paradise.
That's another nigga who doesn't get another love. And I want to give him his flowers. I love OC, man. Love OC. OC, man. Time's Up is one of my favorite songs of all time. I love Time's Up.
Did you know it was OC when we first was watching Ralph McDaniel the video we saw the video for Fudge Clutch and we was like, yo, who these dudes standing in Queens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the last dude to rhyme was OC. I didn't realize that was OC. I didn't know who it was. I just seen some dude rhyming with Organized Confusion. And he said his name and I still didn't know who he was. You know what I'm saying? Man, oh man,
well,
OC is dope. OC is a criminally He's a criminally slept on MC. Slept on.
Yo, his verses on that DITC album are some dope ass rhyming, bro. I love that DITC album also. I ain't gonna hold you. Let me just throw it out there. In 97. I'm gonna play in that and KRS-One and Boot Camp Click. That's the albums I was playing. It just hit me right now. It was KRS-One with the Rapture joint and the MC joint and everything, and I was playing that, and was it Camp Low? No, it wasn't Camp Low. I'm bugging. It wasn't Camp Low yet.
Well, it wasn't. Camp Low was in 97. Camp Low was absolutely out in 97.
Okay, I'm right then, so I know. See, my memory's bad. Yes, I was playing Camp Low, so that's why I said, was it Camp Low? It just hit me right now. I be having visions and shit.
Let me ask you a question.
I love Camp Low.
Do you think Fredro Starr would consider Camp Low nerd backpack rap?
Of course he was. I don't look at
That's really disappointing that Fredro Starr.
Let me say something right quick. I don't even look at the Beastie Boys as nerdy rap. I don't even look at them as nerdy rap. At all. This is how white boys are giving it up in New York City. This is all they did. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I was talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The album we talked about earlier, we're going to have to really... Grandpa Was Real to Real was not a 5-mic classic album.
Was no, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't.
At the time, he was a 5-mic MC who was arguably the best MC coming out of New York, like when this album came out. He was that on fire. Between... Wasn't he that hot? Like, when he dropped What Comes Around Goes Around, the man had this... He had hip hop in chokehold. Well, I'll tell you. No, I would say he had New York City.
I thought Puma had the potential to give us an Illmatic album. That's what I thought.
So let me just say this: there was no such thing as Illmatic then in '92. So I don't even know what to compare it to.
When I say that, in the sense of I know Illmatic is one of the illest albums ever. I'm just comparing that to. I thought Puma had the potential. If he can get Pete Rock and Primo and shit like that, he could have an album in the test of times of a Redman album, of a Tribe album. Like, he didn't really give us an album that we're like, yo, this is Hall of Fame legendary album shit. He didn't give us that.
I agree with you 100%. I believe Pooba could not spit a whack verse. I was convinced of it. I thought he could not. I remember he was on a Strictly Business soundtrack, and he did this song Over Like a Fat Rat, and he rhymed over that. And, you know, he did the song Check It Out featuring Mary J. Blige. You remember that song.
I like that drink.
You remember that song. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But he did, you know, Jabo's Hanging Back, Hill Finger on the Top. And I said, we thought he was going to run hip-hop at that point. We thought, wow, this is the next This is it. Grand Poop was running it. And then, let me tell you what happened, and this is my opinion. I thought Redman's album was better than his. I thought Diamond D's album was better than his. The Chronic was better than his. Daily Operation was better than his. Making a Soul Brother was better than his. So you got to understand that in 92, when he came out, and then all these other albums came out and was just better than his, that kind of threw everything for a loop. Like, damn, like you wanted the dopest MC.
I'm
going to
keep it real.
MC. Yeah.
That album was like 3.5 mics. A light. 3.5.
So let me tell you what's so crazy about it. I loved Grand Poobah so much that I just listened to it a lot, like it was a 5-mic album.
but I knew it wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody wanted to hear.
That's how I feel about cannabis. That's how I feel about cannabis. When cannabis drop, I'm like, yo, am I forcing myself to like this shit, man? Because this shit is not really that good, man. I'm not gonna hold
it. You know what? That is the perfect, perfect analogy.
I listened to Cannabis's album as if it was a 5-mic album, knowing I'm like, Channel Zero. You know what I'm saying? And you're trying to force yourself to be
this
is the greatest thing you've ever heard, but it wasn't.
I don't understand how Cannabis didn't deliver on the first album and why as everyone in the city knew Cannabis is nice and he didn't get a Primo, Pete Rock, a Havoc. Like, my nigga, are you Eric Sermon? Are you, like, none of these niggas gave him beats? Nobody? Lost Professor?
Are we gonna blame New York City for this? Or according to Cannabis, it's Wyclef's fault. Who we blame?
We blaming Clef? Is that what we doing? We blaming Clef? I think everyone gets blamed across the board, Watts. I'm not gonna just put on one person then. Everyone.
You can't,
Cannabis, Wyclef, the label.
Let me tell you why. Illmatic, right? It wasn't a commercial success. But universally, everybody in the hip-hop industry knew Nas was a special, rare talent as an MC.
Yep.
And they said, no, we can't, you know, we're going to do it differently this time because this guy can really rap. Like, you just can't let somebody with this kind of talent somehow just evaporate. So they put a commercial sound to him, but he still had Primo. He still had Havoc. He still had some LES. Mm-hmm. And Trackmasters gave him some of that commercial feel, and then he came with It Was Written. I cannot believe after Cannabis gave you 2 years of 5-mic verses, a scene-stealing appearance on the Firm album, scene-stealing hands-down best freestyles on Tony Touch, on DJ Clue. Matter of fact, the one of the all-time greatest DJ Clue tapes of all time is the Cannabis Freestyle, and then after from East Weeds rhyming over 97 Mentality. How this dude came out on the album?
And all that shit also. He spit up the Artifact shit. I think it was going ape shit on there.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to
every verse. How he came out on an album like this, I can't, I don't understand it. You need to explain it to me, because I can't.
My nigga, if you'd have told me Nori's first album would have been better than Cannabis' first album, I'd have called you a liar.
Nori's first album was far superior to Cannabis' first album.
I would not have told you that. I'd have been like, come on, son. If you'd have told me Nori's album is going to be better than Cannabis' first album, I'd have been like, come on, son. You're bugging right now. You're bugging. I expected a Capital Punishment type of feel. Like, I needed one. I thought he can give us one of those. I really thought Cannabis was going to give us something like that.
Think about that, man. Cannabis, Big Pun, and DMX all dropped in 98. Nori dropped in 98. Three of them were up at Funk Flex rhyming. Cannabis was by far, in January of 1998, rhyming with DMX and Noriega, the best MC there. DMX said it. He said it while they're rhyming. He said Cannabis holds it down forever.
I agree with that.
He said Cannabis holds it down forever.
That.
When DMX was talking to Fat Man Scoop, did you see how he was like, Cannabis, nice! Cannabis, nice! Like,
yeah.
That's one dude who talked about none of the albums, none of the... He just knows this was a dead, nice MC. For Cannabis to not drop a classic hip hop album on us, or at least a 4-mic album,
yeah, that's bad.
Man, I don't know what to say,
that's
man.
Bad.
Now let me ask you a question: what did you think about his second album when he had the song with Rakim?
Yo, I like that song, Rakim. Son, I ain't gonna hold you.
I did
actually like that
too. I did too. Yeah.
A lot. Wait,
would,
I'm glad you mentioned that. Actually, that's a song. Hold on, that's a song that doesn't get a lot of love. Watch, that song was actually dope, my nigga. I ain't gonna hold you. That song was dope.
I thought
it was a little bit of a resurgence. I thought it was a resurgence when he did that song with Rakim, to be honest with you. I'm not going to front. That song was dope, my
nigga.
I'm
going to keep it 100. Mm. I bought that album I was very happy to buy that album. very happy. Remember when he did 100 bars on that DJ Clue tape? Where he just rapped 100 bars?
Killed it. Killed it.
Yo, my man. See, like,
Cannabis was that nigga, son.
Back. I thought he was coming back.
I thought he was
going to come
out of here. I thought he was going to be one of the greatest rappers. I thought he was going to be one of the greatest rappers. I thought he was one of the greatest rappers I've ever heard. I'm going to keep it real. I was, call me reaching at that time, being outside, I thought there was nobody iller than that nigga. Nobody. I'm sorry. Nobody.
I got into a screaming match with one of my best friends at that time. That Cannabis was the greatest MC I've ever heard in my life. That's how I was feeling at that moment. I was really feeling, like, you got to think about this. You know what people don't understand to me? This was crazy. When we were feeling Cannabis as a lyricist, Biggie, Redman, Nas, Samo Marks, Jay-Z, they were
outside.
Already dropped their classics. They'd already dropped their classics. And yet we heard an MC after that, after all of that, who was making us question.
I'll take it here. We talk about eras in hip hop, right? And niggas who have buzzes, especially in NYC. We talk about the Wu era. We talk about 50 era, right? Dog, let's not act like Cannabis didn't have an era with a 1 year, a 1.5 year stint, maybe 2 years, where he was top dog. Like the anticipation. We talk about anticipation of albums. Dog, the anticipation for Cannabis was at an all-time high. Like, we got it, like, for real, son. Like, it was really high. And just didn't, it didn't live up to what we thought it was going to be.
But
it was kind of disheartening.
Think about what we just said. When we heard Cannabis, we thought, so think about, y'all got to think about this. In 1998, we had already heard Capital Punishment. We were listening to Pun. And we still thought Cannabis was the best MC.
I like Cannabis more than Pun at one time, being early. I'm not gonna lie to you, I did. I'm not shitting on Pun saying that, but I was Cannabis to me. Just he like dog. It was It was screw facing. It was like rewinding this nigga. Can't believe the shit I'm hearing from this dude. I was on that type of time with Cannabis, and I wasn't
so
like
was
that.
Man.
I wasn't like so, I mean, I really love Cannabis, man.
So was I. But the fact that he turned out to be different in his approach to hip hop changed the perception. And then he started doing a lot of corny stuff. Like now Cannabis is known as the guy who pulls out a big notepad. Disaster. But to me, that means nothing to us because we really
I'm gonna be real with you. I do not put that. That didn't stop me from still saying Cannabis was that dude. Fam, when I listen to Cannabis right now in 2020, I go back to some old tapes. This nigga's rapping, man. He's fucking rapping. Cannabis is fire, man. Fire. Fire. He was so dope, man. It's not even funny, man. I can't emphasize how dope this guy was, man.
So let me ask you something. What did you think about Fantastic Four, the first one, on the DJ Clue mixtape with him, Cam,
Cam
Locke, Pun.
Cam, oh. Yo, Cam killed that
Who
shit.
Who the hell
first.
Won the
let me
battle?
Say that. Cameron killed that shit, man. Yo, Killer Cam killed that shit. Is that when he said the whips and chains? All I got is whips and chains. So shit like that. Yo, Cam was wilding on there, son. Cam, that was a dope ass song, though, that Fantastic Four. That's another joint no one talks about when they go into the collaboration bag of joints. That's another joint that's just fire, man. God, that joint was fire. I like that joint. I like him way more than Affirmative. Yo, dog, I do not like Affirmative Action Part 2. Can I say that again? I'm sorry, man. That Foxy, Mega, and Nas, not easy. Fucking with that. That shit is trash, B.
Yo, why you saying that, man? That was the Firm Reunion, man, produced by Hit-Boy.
What are we doing with the first Affirmative Action? Do we hold that high, though, in the collaboration?
I do.
It's not here. It's not here.
Yes,
top 20.
I hold it high. We did. We reviewed. It was written, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay, I hold that high.
No, we did not. Wait a minute. No, we didn't. No, we did not. Did we?
I think we did. Remember we talked about Fox? Yes, we did. Because remember we talked about Fox. Remember you had to talk about Foxy Brown's verse.
and why you had a problem with it.
Yes, yes.
With the coach talk, so we did do that.
Yes.
We did
that
do
was
that.
Cringy, man. Can I be real?
That's when I was like, Nas is Menage a Trois just on my
Yes, we did do Nas. It was written, a whole hour of it, of course. And we also had a debate. It was written versus Illmatic, also on the channel. We show Nas a lot of love on the show. People think we hate him. You know what's funny? People think because we don't like King's Disease, we try to ish on Nas. And now that I look about it, though, we've done a lot of Nas talk on this shit for 4 years. Are you kidding me?
Wait a minute, man. What do you mean we didn't like King's Disease?
Lost.
But tell me, what do you mean we didn't like King's Disease? Don't we love the song with Nas and Lil Durk? Don't we love the song with Nas and Fabio Foreman? Don't we love those songs?
No. Sorry, Nas. Yeah, no. No, man. No. Nah, we give Nas his flowers on the show, man. We did Lost Tapes. We've done a lot of anything Nas dropped, we've talked about, man. Nah. Mm-mm. Nah. No. I didn't like that. Mm-mm. But I ain't gonna front though. What about the Cellar Dwellers? Were you a big Cellar Dwellers guy?
Yes, I was. Phantasm. Let me tell you this. I was a big, big Cellar Dwellers fan. And I'll just give you a quick
I want the first take.
So you remember all the underground MCs? You remember all the underground MCs used to go to the Storm Song Barbito show, right? They went up there when the Knicks were playing the Chicago Bulls. And that was after the game where Scottie Pippen got shut down. And I remember Phantasm was freestyling, and he was like, y'all can't score. No, it was Ugg. He was like, y'all can't score. Like Scottie Pippen in the fourth quarter. Like, it was fire because he was freestyling. I love the Cellar Dwellers. Let me just tell you this. I have both of their first two albums, and I blast them on Loud Records, and I play
I gotta
them.
Be real.
They are my personal album. Let me just tell you this.
Perfect match.
I think
that Perfect Match video was cringy, though, to keep it tall.
It was a low-budget, cheap video, man. Come on, man. Don't do that. You know better sometimes.
Yeah,
come on. You know better. That was mad cheesy. It wasn't
I'm just
a good
saying, man.
Video. Of course.
Never like that.
come on. I
it
was
cringy,
when we
man.
Used the blueprint,
oh,
we highlighted.
God.
Remember, when we did the blueprint, we highlighted that every video Jay released was not the best songs on the album for the blueprint.
It wasn't.
H to the Izzo, girls. Those were every video he released from the Blueprint was nowhere near the best songs on the album. And,
no, it wasn't.
You know, but I'm gonna tell you this right now, man. I was a big Cellar Dwellers fan, and I saw Ugg.
Ugg was nice though.
Dead
Ugg was nice. Ugg was nice. He wasn't full of Ugg nice, but he was nice though. He was nice. That's another one, man. I love your Smooth Hustler's first album, yo. I don't think niggas understand how much I really like that album. Like, that's off. I'm going here with
it,
man.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think I have that
half mic album?
Tell me, why do you think I have that album? Why do you think I bought that album?
Man,
I didn't know you. So what
about
it?
It was a rap. Once we heard Broken Language, it was a rap, man. Once we heard Broken Language and My Brother, My Ace, it was a rap.
Let me just say this. I can make a case that Broken Language was the MVP song of 1995. And that was the year that Liquid Swords came out. That was the year Liquid Swords came out. The Infamous came out. And then Broken Language, to me, hit a chord with the rawness and the way they was rhyming. It something clicked at how great that song was. That is a Hall of Fame all-time great hip-hop song.
This is a one of my cat project. Broken Language, My Brother, My Ace, Hustling, Clocks on Cock, Dollar Bill, y'all. Ding to y'all, sir.
Dollar Bill, y'all, is my joint. Move the Hustlers rapping on Dollar Bill, y'all.
It's fire. Fire.
That is five mic rapping by Smooth the
fire.
Hustler on Dollar Bill, y'all.
Smooth was my guy, man. I've been saying that for years. I love Smooth Hustler, man. Love that nigga, man. That Once Upon a
Saratoga
Time.
Saratoga Ave, boy. Saratoga Ave.
Yeah, Saratoga Ave, man. Brownsville, man. Brownsville all day, you know? You know the vibes. Love Smooth, man. Love Smooth Hustler, man. But I don't think niggas have him at the table, Raekwon in them, though. I did. in 95, but a lot of niggas didn't. 96,
I didn't have him at the table. I didn't have him at the table with it. Let me tell you something, man. I bought that Smooth the Hustler album and was so happy to have it. I remember how happy I was because I knew I was going to hear Dope MC. Like, you couldn't convince me I was going to hear Ill Dude rapping, and that's what it was. And let me tell you something, man. Why do we not give DV Alias Christ props for his hooks?
Yeah, facts. That's a fact. He did have dope hooks, though. He did have dope hooks. I ain't going to hold you, though. He did. Shit. That's what it is, man. Why take us home, my G?
PSA Hip Hop, the home of the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, two-time back-to-back MVP, Steve
Kyrie
Nash.
Irving. You mean, wait a minute, Kyrie Irving said he doesn't have a coach, though. You don't need a coach. I mean, KD don't need a coach. So what he said, when Kyrie weighs off, Steve Nash to make a play to Kevin Durant and he takes the last shot, what are you going to do, Watts?
Well, listen, we have Mike D'Antonio, and he's going to orchestrate a scheme where everybody shoots threes, okay? Steve Nash said, if I had known we would have taken threes, I would have taken more threes in my career if I had known that, because I could have done it. So they're going to have a nice open-style court. You got Mike D'Antoni implementing an offensive system. He clearly has the scorers. Pay homage to Mr. Canada himself. Steve Nash, coach of the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. What do you think about, what's his name, Martrell Harrez? I put up Martrell. He used to play for the Clippers. Now he went to the Lakers. Staying in the same building, just switching uniforms. That's crazy.
This is chess, not checkers. This is warning shots. After your next move, I'll show you what I got. And he made a check.
Nice. Smart move by the Lakers, though. I'm not going to hold you. That was a smart move by the Lakers, man. Gordon Hayward went to play with your boy, LaMelo Ball. What do you think about Gordon Hayward going to Charlotte?
You got that duo, boy. You got that duo. What you going to do? What you going to do when you got...
This Utah fam. Come on, man.
What you going to do when you got a 6'7 version of Ice Train? A proven leader of a team. You watched him lead Utah to the playoffs. You know Gordon Hayward can be the first option.
And we watch him go to Boston and not be a first option or second option. He was a third option behind Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And the injury, I don't think he's been the same. Just the injury that he had in Cleveland.
He hasn't been the same. I agree. He hasn't been the same. Who do you want? Who do you want Boogie to play for? Boogie, aka in his prime.
Dog, I know you like Boogie, but
I
know Boogie's your guy, man. But come on, so I think he's washed.
Okay.
Boogie had this
injury prone, man.
So Boogie's washed.
DJ Augustine out here signing 3-year deals. But Boogie's washed.
Boogie's injury prone, Watts. What are you talking about? Your man is injury prone, son.
I can't take it away. I'm such a Boogie fan. Boy, the NBA.
Yeah, I know you are, bro. That ship's already sailed, man. He's just not the same anymore, bro.
Do you have any concerns about Wall thinking he's not better, that he's demanding a trade because he thinks he should be better than Bradley Beal?
Don't walk. Come on, son. Bradley Beal's been better than you for a while, dog. You're another one. Bradley Beal come to the block every day to come out and fight with niggas and be on the block, you know, with the savages. You're not here to help your mans out, bro. So what are you mad about the Wizards franchise organization or front office is leaning more towards Bradley Beal as being a franchise player? Because he is. He averaged like 30 points. Like, come on, Bradley Beal had some dope games last year, son. John Wall, you're not the same anymore, son. Injury prone. It's not your team anymore. It's not even like, I don't know, man. Just let John Wall stay far away from my Knicks. That's all I ask for, please. Now, what did I tell you? If you're Bradley Beal, do you feel some type of way, though? The way that John Wall, if it's true that allegedly, he doesn't want to be there.
It is true. And the reason why, John Wall, you haven't played basketball in 21 months. In those 21 months, you've seen that Bradley Beal is absolutely that guy. And I'm going to keep it real. Would you trade Westbrook for Wall?
I would think the Wizards would get a better deal on that though than Westbrook. I'm taking Westbrook over John Wall, my dude. First off, and I'm comfortable saying that with my chest out, man. It's not even for Houston.
So,
it's not even for Houston, I think. It's not an even trade.
You can never get an even trade for a superstar. You know,
I agree.
It always has to be drafted,
going
pick. Right, but that would be the main thing of it, because clearly Houston understands that this ain't gonna work no more. The Westbrook Harden was a disaster.
It was.
So, and you knew it was going to be a disaster. You knew it. You called it. You were 100% right. I was wrong.
Yeah,
you were right. I'm wrong.
That's what it is, man. PSA Hip Hop, man. It's your boy 3 and Watch. Y'all know the vibes already, man. Fuck with you boys, man.
What?